It is December 24th. Merry Christmas, everyone. Not unlike Santa Claus, here comes Warren Hayes with a collision review, an AEW collision review that you are going to tuck under the tree and don't open it until Christmas morning. So if you're watching right now, press stop and do it tomorrow. No, please don't. God, please. No, but honestly, I hope you're all ready and itching and good to go for the big Christmas celebrations over the next day or so, right? I know I am, but before we get into that, before we get what I get into it, and you too, you know, before we all get into it, we're going to talk about last night's AEW Collision, again, it kicked ass, but listen... likes and reviews, right? Likes and subscriptions on youtube.com/MrWarrenHayes. If this is where you're watching right now, that'd be tremendous. Otherwise, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, 5-star ratings on Spotify would also be tremendous and tremendously appreciated. Another kick-ass episode of Collision, which is just focusing on wrestling and great wrestling on top of that. I don't know what else to say other than when AEW focuses on what it does the best, it truly is the best. The other guys can't do this. They really can't. I'm glad we're at this spot here where, you know, we have a couple of weeks in a row where we have tremendous episodes of Collision. Like, absolutely tremendous. Last week, I gave it rave reviews. It's one of my favorite TV shows of the year, like as far as top to bottom pro wrestling and so on and so forth. You know, last week's Collision was tremendous, and you know, I lauded it as the best episode of Collision they've ever made. So I'm glad we're at this point here where people like myself were sitting around saying for quite a few weeks and months over the course of the summer and early fall, we were saying that AEW had lost its way and was trying to do things, you know, let's just call it what it is, sports entertainment. They were trying to do sports entertainment things, but not as successfully as the other guys, because the other guys do it real well. And I was saying if AEW would stick to their guns and go with pro wrestling, that's what they do best, and the other guys can't do it as well. And I think, and look, I'm sorry, I've been proven right. Because what we saw on what we've been watching on Collision over the past couple of weeks, WWE can't do that. They can't do what we saw here. That's what AEW excels in. And conversely, in the sports entertainment, the goofiness, the backstage skits, the all of that, you know, the monologuing, the 10-minute promos, all of that shit, WWE excels in that. And when AEW tries to do it, they look like minor leagues. So to me, it couldn't be clearer at this point that what one company is, that this is how their identity should be built upon. This is how they should be consecrated. Where one group is very good at sports entertainment. The other one is very good at pro wrestling, and they just offer completely different alternatives to each other. And there you go. And let's move on like that, you know? There's a product for everyone. And meanwhile, when you have bad faith operators out there saying, you know, oh, AEW needs a hard reset, I didn't like the Continental Classics one, that to me is an indication that AEW is doing their job well, because all of these people who are essentially WWE fans should just stick to watching WWE then. Stop calling themselves wrestling fans and just focus on WWE. Because all they want is for all wrestling promotions to be like WWE. But WWE do their own thing and they're very good at it, and they should continue to do what they do. Whereas everyone everywhere else should just develop its own feeling, its own mood, its own identity, personality, whatever you want to call it. Kick-ass show from San Antonio, Texas, the Frostbank Center. 3,865 tickets distributed according to WrestleTix, yada, 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 yada. You know my thoughts on this. So I have, like, I know I've said this over the past couple of reviews where I've said, I've got nothing to add in regards to the attendance numbers, because I've said everything I've had to say about them for weeks at this point, and I'm just rehashing the same points, but then I end up adding some more. But I mean it this morning, because I'm recording this on Sunday morning. I mean it this morning. I'm not rehashing any of these points. They're all out there. I have nothing new to add. Once there's something new to add, I will. But as it stands right now, I've got nothing nothing for you. So if you're like, well, Warren, I'm new here and I don't know what your points are in regards to attendance. And my entire body of work is there. No, but go listen to the beginning of any AEW Dynamite or Collision review that I've done, in the first 10 minutes or so when we talk about attendance, we do a little business talk. It's always the same thing I say. So there's no point in rehashing it. 3,865 is maybe a little bit about above average, but this is where the Spurs play, right? This is an NBA facility. It's a basketball arena is what I'm trying to say. No. It's not good. Sorry, folks. But you know what was good? Finalizing the Blue League in the Continental Classic. We're going to break down as we've been doing over these reviews for the past couple of weeks. We're going to start down by breaking. We start off by breaking down. We don't start down by breaking off. That's kind of weird. We're going to start off by breaking down the final night of Blue League action in the Continental Classic. And I thought it was very good. I thought the overall the league action last week was better. But I mean, last week was a stellar show as well. However, we got treated to Danielson defeating Bryan Danielson, just to be very clear, defeating Claudio Castagnoli. Not defeating. They went to a time limit draw. What am I talking about? They went to a time limit draw here. What a treat this match was, right? The two BCC guys go, and again, maybe this is just because maybe it's because I watch other wrestling, especially in Japan where, you have factions and factions. Just because you're in a faction, anywhere else doesn't mean that you can't fight your partners in matches, right? There's always this idea of competitiveness of, jockeying, alpha maleship and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. In chaos in New Japan, I feel like they're constantly fighting each other. I'm exaggerating, but they're always, most of the time, they end up in G1s against each other. And they fight. They don't like lay on their backs. They don't, there's a little extra little something here. So, as far as a bunch of people were going, oh, does this mean Danielson's going to turn? Is Claudio going to turn? No, you can be adults with this too. And not everything, has to be, you can be a little more nuanced, I guess, is what I'm saying. Anyway, this was tremendous, right? That nice little feeling out process at first between the two. Just a tremendous, some tremendous back and forth. Danielson, gets thrown off the apron with a knee by Claudio, who's been just started laying into him. And the face that Danielson had when Claudio threw that first uppercut was just fantastic. Danielson's like, oh, all right, now we're gonna have some fun, right? They brawl on the floor, top rope, backdrop suplex by Danielson once they're back in. There's a tremendous avalanche superplex as well by Claudio, who spins a little bit, like just freaking nature stuff, right? Danielson avoids the Ricola bomb, CC, see it because I write CC, right? Claudio hits the neutralizer. Busaikuni follows, head stomps by Danielson, and then some head stomps by Castagnoli. And then there's a minute left in the tournament, right? And Danielson is in a sharpshooter, 30 seconds, people are on their feet. Claudio reverses the hold. He releases the hold, I should say, to get to try and beat up Danielson and get the 3 point because the three count because Danielson is not submitting, but as he does it a little too late, can't quite get the he covers, but referee, I think it's Stefan Smith, he gets in position and he counts one and the bell rings, which drew some boos from the crowd. But honestly, of course, because of course you want a decision, right? But if you're gonna go, if you're gonna do the full 20 minutes here, this was the way to do it. This was absolutely tremendous. I thought this match was extraordinarily good. I really thought this was a tremendous match. I was very excited for it, and boy, did it deliver! I was happy. I gave it 4.5 stars here. You're keeping track at home. Cage Match really liked it. They're on the verge of the 5-star territory here. Yeah, no, listen, I just a the fight you expect between these two. And in a position where, you know, Danielson wants to secure his spot and Claudio wants to stay alive. And Claudio's urgency towards the end where he's, you know, as he's getting the, you know, even before he gets the sharpshooter in, you know, he just wants to put this away. It's tremendous stuff. Absolutely tremendous stuff. Great story. I loved it. And the first and only draw of the C2 this year. And as commentary said, with this victory here, Danielson clinched a place in the semifinals for the block. Claudio was eliminated at this point. There was no way with 7 points that he could stay alive here. Not with Andrade already being at 9 points. Then we had Daniel Garcia defeating Brody King to get his first three on the board. Listen, look, I thought this match was very good. Again, you know, they told the story. For a tournament, right, where everyone is like, you can't tell a story. There's a shitload of stories that were told in this tournament. I don't know if you noticed. We've talked about them as we were going along, but I want to reiterate this point again. A lot of and you know, the story of Daniel Garcia, which actually supersedes the tournament itself, where he's trying to find himself again, right? He's a little aimless, committed himself to being a sports entertainer, but now that the sports entertainment group has dissolved, can he go back to being a pro wrestler, right? Because he, you know, he didn't do the hip thrusts during the match, right? He fucking focused on beating up Brody King, who lands a Gonza Bomb on him as well. But Garcia kicks out, and Garcia got the win on him here. Look, I thought, I felt that this match was a perfect encapsulation of Garcia's. That it was the perfect encapsulation of Garcia's tournament, where he worked from beneath to overcome the big man Brody King, would come out swinging, came out strong, couldn't quite make it happen for the rest of the tournament for himself. And look, this is a scenario we had been talking about for weeks, for a couple of weeks anyway, where I was saying, look, if Eddie Kingston has to go forward, Brody King has to lose. Because the minute Brody King wins a match, Eddie Kingston is, with Danielson being at the top as well, the minute Brody King wins the match. Eddie Kingston is done. He's in peril. He can't make it. So this had to happen. This had to win. An upset win. Which you should have in a tournament, right? And I think this is the only... Is this the only real... Like... I think this is the clearest upset win from the tournament, at the very least, right? Where you have a guy who just completely lost all throughout. Coming in against a much bigger man than he did. I thought this was very good. I thought this was a very good match to tack on here on the C2 finals, and then finishing off in the main event, Eddie Kingston defeating Andrade El Idolo, both ending up with 9 points, but Eddie has the tiebreaker. He beat Andrade, so he moves forward. I thought this was a very strong match as well. I thought this was very good. Back and forth between the two. And finally, Eddie Kingston slaps Andrade to the floor. Some feeling out moments between the two. Andrade drop kicks Eddie in the knees, though. Uses the dragon screw leg whips because he's starting to work the leg to go to the figure 4/figure 8. Andrade in control. He does the three amigos. Eddie Kingston anti-airs Andrade with an enziguri, if I'm not mistaken, which was pretty cool, but he hurts his knee in the process. However, gets the machine gun chops in. Andrade lands an Orihara moonsault and the moonsault into the standing moonsault as well. Kingston avoids the hammerlock DDT and lands a backdrop driver. Back elbow by Andrade. Figure 4 then follows. And as Andrade gets the figure 8 arch in, Eddie is reaching the rope. So the referee calls for the break before the figure 8 can really be cinched in. We're at the 15-minute mark here. Back fists by Eddie and a Northern Lights bomb for the win. I know a lot of people thought that this sort of came out of nowhere, but we've seen Eddie do this finish before. Pair of back fists, Northern Lights. I mean, that it also establishes that he could probably put Danielson away with this, right? That's the thing. It's like poof, poof, the two back fists and the Northern Lights bomb. Isn't that how we won the strong open weight title? Like, I feel like it's not the first time we've seen this, you know. Maybe the referee also just like, hey guys, we gotta, you know, take it home. We gotta go. Which is entirely possible. But I thought this was very strong as well. Look, I gave 3.5 to Danielson and Brody King, 3 3/4 to this one. I mean, all of this kicked ass. What do you want from me? All of this was great, just fantastic and great drama, and you know, everything was coming. Even the match with Garcia had stakes because, again, had Brody King won, Eddie Kingston would have been eliminated. So there was some form of drama here, even though you could probably say, well, it's a little predictable. We see this one coming, right? The minute that, you know, Danielson goes to a draw, you're like, much more clear cut in this. In the block here for the finals, despite the fact that, oh, we could have a 5-way tie. It's like, come on now, all right, everyone. I didn't want to speak too much because here I was saying they're not going to do the triple, the three-way, right? They're not going to do the three-way for the Gold League. They're going to keep it simple with one-on-one stuff. But no, they did an unbreakable 3-way tie to do a fucking 3-way to finish off your singles tournament. I mean, I have thoughts on that. I talked about them on the Dynamite review, and I'll talk about them on the Mr. Warren Hayes show as well. Don't care for it, is what I'm trying to say. The rest was really, like, but here, and I really like Blue League. I'm sorry. I really, really fucking liked Blue League. And I told y'all, Blue League is the one you have to keep an eye on. And I thought this one had great drama till the very end, with points, with the block being a lot more competitive, as far as points go. You know, like, you know, like they, like everyone was saying, you know, there's a potential for a 5-way tie. So, you know, it's like, oh, all right. Yeah, and the matches here were tremendous. I think my favorite matches of the tournament all happened in the Blue League, and the Blue League is finishing with a straight one-on-one. Look, I'm a simple man. That this is the kind of shit that works. So Eddie Kingston, Brian Danielson finished the at the top of the block. Danielson, of course, in first place with 10 points, with his 3-1-1 record. Eddie Kingston 3-2-0 with 9 points. So does Andrade, but Andrade finishes third as Eddie Kingston has the tiebreaker over him. We already mentioned this. Fourth place goes to Claudio Castagnoli and his 2-2-1 record for 7 points. Brody King at 2-3-0 for 6 points. And Dan Garcia finishes with 3 points on the board, 1-4-0. Jay Lethal is the only competitor of the Continental Classic 2023. To finish the tournament with 0 points. So we're going into Dynamite this week with the finals of with the league finals, I should say, being Danielson and Kingston for the Blue League, and the aforementioned 3-way between John Moxley, Swerve Strickland, and Jay White. As for the rest of the show. Well, we had a very good show as well. I thought everything. There were a lot of good things on the rest of the show as well. But let me tell you, when you get like 45 minutes of like really good to great pro wrestling, you can forgive a lot more on the rest of the show here. But let's go through it. Let's break down the show in order. Of course, the show started off with Claudio versus Danielson. Then we had the AEW World Trios match where Billy Gunn and the Acclaim defeated Top Flight and Action Andretti. I do not know why they didn't give this, why they didn't switch the titles here. I don't know why they didn't give it to the kids. And I thought everyone was half working here as well, except for Anthony Bowens. I thought Bowens worked really hard. He always does. I see a tremendous amount of upside in Anthony Bowens. Were they teasing some dissent in the Acclaimed? Like, I couldn't tell if it was that or if there was like some legitimate little frustrations here between, especially with Max Caster. I couldn't tell. Maybe they're teasing the breakup of the Acclaimed. It could be. The Top Flight guys in Action Andretti, I think, have been tremendous. And, you know, I don't know if you remember all the way when they started talking about the trios tournaments and so on and so forth. I think a lot of us were excited at the idea, when they were introducing the trios titles, is what I'm trying to say. I think a lot of us were excited for this to be like the high octane, quick match where you have all of these people that do all these great spots and moving around and just going crazy. It's the spot fest match of the night. And I think and they had been doing that with their trios matches. You know, AEW for a while were having these tremendous trios matches before the titles were brought in, which got people stoked for some trios titles. And then the trios titles arrive and it's kind of like, what? This isn't great, you know, kind of thing. Like, they're being treated like any old, you know, any other humdrum run-of-the-mill title on the show, where they should have this identity to them, I think, of just being the impetus for these high-level, high-impact matches, right? And I thought this is what they were going to do. Give them to the young guys, you know, the Top Flight guys, Action Andretti, who that's their bread and butter. You know, they do spots, they do the flips, they do, you know, fast paced action. And you have them go around, circulate against other young guys and the Lucha Libre guys that AEW is just piling more and more on. You know, wouldn't that be fantastic? Wouldn't that be great? Because you guys and gals and non-binary pals know that the Acclaimed the acclaimed stuff is not for me. I kind of think it's a little, it's a little, it's a little stale. It's not for me. I think it's kind of dumb. We're not going to get this high level of intensity of great trios. Like, I could absolutely see every Dynamite starting off with a trios match. Yeah, you take a page out of Nitro. That would start off with the Cruisers, right? A high, exciting, high octane match. Get people into it. That's what the trios title should be. It should feel more like a. Should feel more like Lucha Libre. It should feel different than the rest. Because right now it's just like a tag team match, but with an extra guy. And there, I have no. You know, it's not that I don't have any use for it. I was going to say I have no use for it. That's not true. It's just, it doesn't feel special, if that makes sense. If that makes sense. After that, we get a video package of Hook accepting a Wheeler Yuta's challenge, but he wants it in New York. Hook is sitting on the steps in front of his building in New York somewhere. I've always liked these Hook vignettes. That's how he should always be handled, really. I kind of like him. It's fine. Then we have Keith Lee defeating Brian Cage. I thought this rocked. I kind of feel like I'm on a little bit of an island in regards to Ring of Honor Final Battle 2023, which I reviewed on the Mr. Warren Hayes show this week, where I thought it was a good show, but I have people, many people around me going, oh, it was great, it was fantastic. And I thought, yeah. And one of the reasons that I thought this, you know, one of the things that I felt played to the detriment of the show was Keith Lee versus Shane Taylor, which again, a lot of people really liked, you know, and everyone always talks about the destroyer off the top rope. And don't get me wrong, I mean, you have like, what, 700 pounds of human bodies, you know, doing Canadian destroyers off the top rope. I mean, that's impressive, but I thought the match was, you know, average. Here, I'm like, this was the opposite to me. And I thought Keith Lee looked motivated. And I thought Brian Cage looked tremendous. I'm a Brian Cage guy here. And I know he's not, I know there's a lot of people who don't like him for multiple reasons, but I think this guy is tremendous. And you put him in an environment where Keith Lee, where he's using his speed, and you have the impression, kind of like commentary said, where you're seeing a light heavyweight run around Keith Lee, but in fact, like, he's just as jacked as he is, right? But, Brian Cage does a... Look, they're both doing head scissor takedowns on each other? I'm like, okay, all right, let's fucking go. Like, Keith Lee felt motivated here on top of it all. And he gets scoop slammed by Brian Cage. Tiger Fight Kick as well. And that absolutely... tremendous superplex from Brian Cage. You know, in another company, they would have set up the pneumatics to have the ring collapse, right? But I thought that was a phenomenal spot. And then Prince Nada brings in the cinder block, but it doesn't really get used because Keith Lee does the jackhammer for the win. Look, they're giving Keith Lee the little pushy push, and he's looking good. I think he looks more motivated here than he has in a long time in AEW. I think they're serving him up for Swerve, because, of course, after the match, he outright calls out Swerve Strickland, right? Says he's coming for him. But look, he looks and feels motivated. You're kind of seeing the Keith Lee of the past here a little bit. A big guy who does outstandingly athletic things. You know, the thing that we all bemoaned when they tried to do Bearcat Keith Lee with him years ago. We're like, you're not letting him do what Keith Lee should be doing. And then for a while in AEW, he did it and then he stopped. And I think it's, you know, I think a lot of us suspect that it might be for health reasons because he disappeared for a while as well. And I think we all feel it's for health reasons. And now he's back. And he's back and he's looking tremendous. Like, it feels like Keith Lee, and he doesn't feel like, you know, it's just like, oh, we're going to do the Bearcat thing. Good little match. Backstage, Renee is talking with Toni Storm, Luther and Mariah May are there as well. I guess the bullet points here is that Toni doesn't recognize Mariah May, and Mariah May says she has a wrestling license. There's something I haven't heard in a while. And she's good to go. And are they establishing that Mariah May's first match is going to be against Toni Storm? Is this what they're going to do? I will admit that Toni Storm's, talking about Rio and for World's End, saying, you're so tiny and small, I don't mind packing on the pounds, for a role. I can get like 8 to 11 pounds in a blink of an eye, something like that. That kind of made me, I kind of thought that was funny. Especially off of all the fucking Rio talk nonsense that she always gets when she wrestles, right? But yeah, it never stops. It never fucking stops. Then we go back to the ring where the star of the show, Christian Cage, arrives along with Nick Wayne. He's here to talk about the events that happened a couple of weeks ago in Montreal, where Nick Wayne's mom, Shayna Wayne, that sounds like a band name from the 1960s. Ladies and gentlemen, the Shayna Waynes. Right? He says basically, Nick's mom, he says, I'm here to could explain to you why Nick's mom cracked Adam Copeland, across the head with the TNT title, but, why not let her explain for herself? And she walks out, no music, which is fine. She's not a talent. She's Nick Wayne's mom. It's fine. So she gets the mic and she talks in the most NXT cadence. Like, yeah, not natural. Like, there's a couple of moments where she splurts into something, but when she wants to get her point across, she talks in this cadence and emphasizes certain words. I don't know. Oh my God. This is rough right now. Like, nothing feels natural here. It all feels phony. But I understand she's not a talent. She's like, oh, you're booing a mother? Calls Christian Cage, that she says the one person who loves and cares for my son as much as I do is the patriarch Christian Cage. And then Christian Cage then wraps this up in the way, it went a little above and beyond what I was hoping, because not only did he end up saying, what did he say? He said, I scored when I retained the title in Montreal, but I scored another way that night, right? I was expecting that, and it was tremendous, right? But then on top of that, he says that he's going to defeat Adam Copeland for all the moms and all the single moms in the world. I'm doing it for them, on behalf of them. And I just lost it, because of course he's going to do that, right? Because he's going to try and picture himself like some paragon of virtue here for all the single moms. And I just lost it. I think it, how good is this guy? And I think it is tremendous, right? And he does, because he was basically saying, that Shayna, you know, she took all of these awful jobs, he said, to keep Nick Wayne's dream alive, you know, as a single mom. So I'm going to do this for all the single moms. I'm like, oh my God, he's tremendous. He's fantastic. He's a scumbag. And what do you want? He's no one touches Christian Cage in AEW right now. He's fantastic. But I've been told there are no stories there are no stories in AEW, right? I don't know if you heard about this. Great segment. I loved it. Big Bill and Ricky Starks are backstage. They do diverticulitis and gingivitis jokes. And Big Bill says, that sounds fake. Diverticulitis, that sounds fake. It's like, didn't bother to research, just pop it into Google or anything, you know? When I say research, right? Just pull out your phone and, you know, just search. Anyway, they make some jokes. Chris Jericho shows up and he says that while Omega is out, the match is off, but you just wait. We're going to get to that match at some point and he'll find a partner if need be. Then we get Garcia versus King. It's important to note here that what we didn't talk about when I was breaking it down is after the match, the lights go out after Garcia gets the win over Brody King. The lights come back up and Buddy Matthews and Malakai Black are in there. They're holding, they're propping Garcia up for Brody King to beat him up. Matt Menard, who was at commentary, leaves his post. He can now because the tournament match is done. He comes in to try and protect Garcia. FTR then come out to challenge for a match. Garcia's arm gets fucked up in the meantime, like they do a thing on his arm. Anyway, nice Menard just like draping his body over Garcia to protect them, you know. Aww. And then we had Julia Hart and Sky Blue losing to Abaddon and the returning Thunder Rosa. Big, big shock here. Thunder Rosa winning her return match. Good to see her back. I mean, look, you can spin this around 15 ways to Sunday. You know, injuries suck. I hate it when wrestlers have their careers shortened because of that kind of bullshit, but it's good to have her back. It's good to see her back. She seemed excited, motivated. She was into it. Came in with a low rider, which I thought maybe was a little much. She could have just come out at the top of the ring because honestly, I think it diminished the pop a little bit. I think people were just, they were very much excited. I think people would have reacted more if she had just walked out at the top and people, instead of coming out from the floor on the side where a bunch of people didn't necessarily see her, I think it was an ill-advised move. Because she got a good reaction, but I think it could have been better, I think. The match was all right, you know. I mean, the match was all right. Thunder Rosa gets, you know, she gets the hot tag after Abaddon eats shit for the majority of the match and runs roughshod across everything, hits a Northern Lights on Sky Blue. A little more back and forth that ends with the Tijuana bomb for the win. There you go. I mean, I don't know what to add. It was okay. It was fine. You know, Sky Blue is what she is. And, you know, Abaddon has this peculiar chemistry with the audience as well. You know, she might not be my favorite wrestler, but, you know, she does have a look, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of spooky people in AEW. A lot of spooks. Running around, you know, a lot of brooding, spooky weirdos. I don't mind it personally. It's an observation. I'm not going to say, oh, this should dial back. I don't care. You know, I think, you know, the one I thought, okay. Warren, you're saying this for a reason. You're right. Because I think the one where it feels the most tacked on and forced upon is Sky Blue, right? Because, but they just don't know what to do with Sky Blue anymore, I don't think. You know, I really don't think they know what to do with her anymore. And I think this is why they sort of, oh, you're going to wear a crown now. You're going to do this spooky bullshit now, you as well. Does this mean Sky Blue is in the House of Black? Because if so, lots of goth chicks in AEW. I swear you're at a Hot Topic in 2005. All right, that's enough out of me. I'm gonna wrap this up here because after this match here, we went to the main event, which we've already talked about, which ended in a confrontation, right? A face-to-face. Danielson came down with the tremendous. And I don't know if they were probably short on time. Because I wish this had made it to TV. Because Eddie picks up a mic after, right? This is all, of course, all over social media. He picks up a mic after, and he starts, you know, talking to Danielson. You know, well, they're jaw-jacking at each other, and Danielson turns his back on him, right? Which is the ultimate show of disrespect in pro wrestling. He turns his back and says, "Hit me!" He says, "I don't respect this man," you know, whatever. Eddie grabs a mic and he just tears him a new one, right? He calls him his bitch and so on and so forth. And Danielson, then he gets the mic and he says, you know, "I don't respect this man. I'm going to beat him because Eddie Kingston is a bum." Everyone cries boo and he walks out. Again, look at, and you can tell stories within a tournament. And anyone who says that you don't, that the Continental Classic was devoid of them, is just complete in bad faith. Complete bad faith. I don't know why anyone thinks that this is not connecting, how this is not working. They're nuts. They're not paying attention. They're not watching this. Because honestly, listen, I'm going to do a proper wrap-up of the Continental Classic. And I'm going to break down stuff. And you're going to see that there were stories in here. I'm excited to do it. That's going to be in about a week. Next week, I'm going to drop my full Continental Classic breakdown. So that'll be awesome. I will be excited to share that. It'll be over on voicesofwrestling.com most likely. But that'll be good. But in the meantime, look, that wraps it up. We're done. We're done for today. We're done for the Christmas Day edition of the AEW Collision Review. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I will be back on Tuesday, on Boxing Day, for a brand new edition of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show, where we're going to preview AEW World's End. Of course, that's going to be happening next week. And, you know, there's a couple of bits of news that's been happening. You think the end of the year is going to go out gracefully without any big news? Ha ha! You're wrong! We're gonna break all of this stuff down on Tuesday, and then back with the Dynamite review. And of course, there won't be a Collision review next week because there's no Collision. We're gonna go right into World's End. So there you go. That's going to be that. I think that's the whole tour of the islands here. But hey, listen, thank you all very much for joining me today, and I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. Hope it's wonderful and full of good tidings. I'll see you next time.